The reading is from John
20, verses 1 to 18, and this can be found on page 109 of the Church Bibles. John chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to grab a Bible myself because I didn't manage to bring mine up with me. Thank you. So if you haven't already got that passage open, you might like to keep it open on page 1089 in your Bibles. Well, I don't know what your favourite TV series is, but often when we watch a kind of drama series, you get that little bit at the beginning, don't you, where it says on the screen, "last time" or "previously." And these days we now get on the BBC the little pink button in the bottom right-hand corner that you can press skip trailer, which can be quite useful if you're binge-watching. Oh, have I just given that away? But it can be quite useful to skip if you know what has happened. But I'm not going to press the skip trailer button this morning, because actually on Easter Day, it's really important that we remember that we cannot come to Easter Day without having travelled through Good Friday. And if we were to do the last time bit this morning, we'd look back to Good Friday just 2 days ago, when a number of us were here, or perhaps elsewhere, reflecting on Jesus' death on the cross. The previously trailer would remind us that we thought about the great exchange here on Friday that takes place at the cross, where guilt is exchanged for freedom, hatred is exchanged for love, And even in the desperation and horror of the crucifixion scene, loneliness is exchanged for community or family. And we thought too about a powerful word in the Greek, the word that Jesus spoke, his final word from the cross, as he said, "It is finished." It's just one word in the Greek of the New Testament, tetelestai. In English, three words, perhaps the greatest words of Good Friday. It is finished. It is paid in full. It is completed. It is accomplished. And those three words change everything on Good Friday. Those three words make a horrific day good. Those three words mean that there is hope even in the darkest of hours. But today, we hear three more words which change everything all over again. We didn't hear them very specifically in that account from John's Gospel, but we did hear them in the account from Matthew's Gospel that Stephen read for us at the beginning of the service. And in Matthew and Mark and Luke, we get those three words, "He has risen." Those are the three words for Easter Day. He has risen. And they change everything again. Because the three words of Good Friday are good news. It is finished. But the three words of Easter Day are even better news. He has risen. And it's even better news because yet more exchange and transformation takes place. As we've already sung this morning, death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered, and we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. And there is so much transformation that we see in the Easter story. We see desperate sadness turned to explosive joy. We see fear turned into bold courage. But specifically here in the account of Mary Magdalene, we see confusion turned into clarity. Let's have a look at that. In verse 1, we read that while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. As I've already commented, it's really difficult for us to imagine quite what it was like for her that morning. But try to imagine yourself into that place. Eyes sore and red from crying. I wonder if you've ever cried to the extent that it feels like your eyes have almost been turned inside out because you're in such distress. Body exhausted after another sleepless night because you're so distressed. Spirit drained after the pain and fear of recent days. All hope gone. And yet doing the only thing that she knows to do, perhaps. Go to the tomb, do what needs to be done for a poor, lifeless body. But when Mary arrives at the tomb, the stone has been removed from the entrance. So I was reading this passage again this week. I was reflecting quite how quickly things move in those first few verses. She arrives and straight away, the stone has been moved from the entrance. And then straight away in verse 2, we get those words of confusion as she goes running back to Peter and John and says, "We don't know where they've put him. The tomb is empty and we don't know where Jesus has gone." Confusion reigns at this point. There's certainly no inkling at this point that Jesus is risen. She hasn't gone there, found the empty tomb and thought, "Ha ha, he's risen from the dead." No, she's gone and found the empty tomb, and she is even more distressed than she was when she arrived. There's uncertainty and fear and lack of understanding and confusion. That's at the beginning of the passage that we read. But at the end of the passage, in verse 18, we read that Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So at the beginning, she runs to the disciples and she says, "Don't know where they've put him." And at the end of this passage, she runs again and she says, "I have seen the Lord." That's quite a transformation, isn't it, in the space of 18 verses. Confusion has cleared away and clarity has taken over. So what is it that has happened between those two statements to bring such transformation? Well, that's easy, you might say. Jesus has risen. Well, actually, he'd already done that. She just hadn't discovered it. But I want to go one further than that. Not just has she discovered that Jesus is risen, but she has encountered the risen Jesus. That is what has brought the difference between confusion and clarity. Verse 11 tells us that Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Wailing would probably be a better translation. Weeping makes it sound like she's got, you know, a couple of British tears rolling down her cheek, doesn't it? Wailing is probably a better translation of that depth of grief and crying out that she was doing. And Jesus approaches her from behind. And he meets her where she is and says, "Why are you crying?" And then Jesus speaks her name. And that's when the transformation happens. That's when Mary recognizes him. That's when the penny drops and the clarity comes. As Jesus says, "Mary." In that moment, she knows that she is seen and recognized by the risen Lord Jesus. And she simply responds, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." And then she's able to go to the disciples and say, "I have seen the Lord." Mary encounters the risen Jesus, the living Jesus, and confusion becomes clarity. "I don't know" becomes "I have seen the Lord." And so I wonder, where in our lives are we saying, "I don't know"? I don't know. We might be saying it in all sorts of trivial senses, of course. I don't know where I've put my glasses down. I don't know where my phone is. But there may be some much deeper ways in which we are saying, I don't know why this has happened. I don't know what God is doing in this situation. I don't know where my hope is. I don't know how I'll make ends meet this year. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know how I can live without that person or with this illness. I don't know can be a very real part of our lives, can't it? And the helpful thing about Good Friday and Easter Day is that we don't have to ignore the fact that "I don't know" can be a real part of our lives. We don't have to pretend that the questions aren't real and that the feelings that go with them don't exist. We don't need to leave our despair at the door. We do need to bring it to the cross and to the garden of the resurrection. Because, my goodness, Mary and the disciples must have had many of those thoughts in their heads that weekend. Those things that I've just said, "I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know where hope is. I don't know how I can live without Jesus here." They had all of those things in their heads and their hearts that weekend and more. And then it gets even worse. The body of their beloved Jesus has disappeared. All of this happened, and now we don't even know where his body is. I don't know. We don't know. That's where Mary begins on Easter morning. But it's not where she ends. Easter morning shows us that I don't know is not the end of the story. It's where Mary begins on Easter morning, but she ends by saying, I have seen the Lord. Confusion can turn to clarity. Sadness can turn to joy. That is the good news and the hope of Easter Day as we encounter the risen Lord Jesus. Because the risen Jesus meets Mary in her confusion, he calls her by name, and that changes everything. She's now able to say with clarity, I have seen the Lord. And Easter faith is not about having all the answers, because then it wouldn't be faith. But it is about encountering the risen Jesus. It is about allowing him to transform our I don't knows into I have seen. And then to discover that in seeing the risen Lord now, we also see more clearly where he was at work in the past. Because it was only when the disciples knew about the resurrection that they would have been able to begin to make sense of Good Friday. It is only in the light of the resurrection that we can see the good of the cross. The good of the barbaric and horrific events on Good Friday, we can only see those through the light of the resurrection garden. It is only as we encounter the risen Jesus that we realize that the suffering Jesus walks with you, even in the darkest and the hardest moments of our lives. It is only in the light of he has risen that we can fully appreciate it is finished. And so if you're in a place where actually this morning you're thinking, I am so up to here. I'm really not up for this joy of Easter Day thing. Let me encourage you just to see the chink of light that actually helps us to see through the lens of the resurrection, that the suffering Jesus walks with us too. And if you don't quite feel the resurrection joy this morning, that's okay, because the risen Jesus and the suffering Jesus walk with us in our darkest hours. And if you're coming with questions and confusion, if your life includes some I don't knows, then it's like mine too. We all have our I don't knows. And if you identify much more with the pain of Good Friday or the emptiness of Holy Saturday, then that's okay. But the invitation to you is to follow in the footsteps of Mary Magdalene, to speak out your I don't knows and to experience the transforming encounter of the risen Lord Jesus. To hear him say to you, why are you weeping? And then to hear him call your name so that you too may say with clarity and with faith, I have seen the Lord. On Friday, the invitation to us was to bring our burdens and our dead things and our lifeless things to the cross and to exchange them for the blood and the love and the forgiveness and the freedom that Jesus brings. And this morning, the invitation to us is to bring our confusion and our questions and to be open to the possibility that right there, we encounter the risen Lord Jesus, and everything changes. Wouldn't it be great if we met the risen Lord Jesus this morning and went away from here knowing right deep down that everything has changed because we've met with the risen Lord Jesus. We are able to say, He has risen and I have seen the Lord. So we're going to take some moments now to pray exactly that, that in this moment we would encounter the living Jesus, that as we wait on him and ask that his Holy Spirit would fill us afresh. And in a few moments, as we gather around the Lord's table and receive bread and wine, the thing that he gave to us to remember all that he had done for us, let's open our hearts and pray that we too this morning would hear the voice of Jesus calling our name and bringing clarity out of our confusion. Let's pray.